Father, we thank you today because your might is great, and indeed there is nowhere that we can go that we can hide from your presence. Lord, as we come today, I pray that you will impress on this on us as never before. Your Spirit is everywhere. You see everything we do. You know every thought we think, every word we say. You know every motive and every intent of the heart. And so, Lord, as believers today, though we often stumble and fall and maybe fall short, yet we have been clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we take great comfort in the fact that though you know us thoroughly, you still love us. And furthermore, each time when we do mess up, as long as we confess our sin to you, your word says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, today, help us to take great comfort in the fact that you are covering us every single place we go. We are in your hands. We are covered by you, and there is nothing outside of your domain, and especially us who are kept right in the palm of your hand. Lord, take your word today. Use it both as a warning and as an encouragement to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to fill in the blanks, believe me, you'll be happy today. There are plenty of them. This is a psalm that I know we've probably heard many times, especially that part down there. I wasn't hidden from you when I was in the secret place and when I was woven together. And we use that a lot on the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, you know, around, and the pro-life movement, of course, goes to this. But it's so true. And yet this psalm, in the big picture, is about so much more than that. That is simply the first phase of it. So let's just take a little look at this psalm today. I don't know why, but when I made the original list of psalms, this one wasn't on it. And so last Sunday or sometime, I was looking down through the list, and I saw this one. I'm like, how did that not get on there? And it was like immediately the Lord said, this is it. This is the one for Sunday. But what a tremendous psalm. In doing a little reading and research, most of those, you know, who study the Scripture and all that, they will tell us that this psalm, which is 24 verses, basically is in four sections of six verses each. The first six verses have to do with the omniscience of God, the fact that he knows everything. The second six verses have to do with his omnipresence, which means that he is present everywhere at the same time. The third six verses have to do with his omnipotence, which is, of course, his ability to do anything, to do the impossible. And then the last six verses are a combination of a prayer for judgment upon the wicked, and then those last couple of verses that we read where he says, Lord, search me, test me. If there's any offensive way in me, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. And of course, we can learn a lot through word studies, and I won't spend a lot of time on them this morning, but I do want to draw your attention to a few things. In verse 3, he says, you discern my going out and my lying down. And I looked up this word, and it is the same Hebrew word that is used for winnowing wheat and barley. They had a winnowing system, and they would build it up on the hill, and the grain would be put in there, and it has this little husk on it, and they would put their oxen or whatever in there to trample on it and break that off. Then they had these things, they could take it and throw it up in the air. And they always built them where there was a strong breeze. And as they tossed it up in the air, the breeze would carry away the chaff and the pure grain would fall back down into the bin. And that's what John the Baptist meant when he said about Jesus, the one who was coming behind him. He said he's got his winnowing fork in his hand. And so it means in the interlinear, they translated this as sift. You winnow my going out and my coming. You sift it. And when, I don't know, as a kid, I had a chance a number of occasions. My dad still was, you know, doing some building and stuff to sift sand. And some of you ladies have sifted flour in the old days. We don't do that a whole lot anymore. But when you're done, you see what's left. And it kind of implies, you know, when you have sifted something, you've been through the whole thing. When archaeologists are at a site and they want to see if there are any little fragments of anything, they sift it. And so the Lord, believe me, He is more than just a surface knowledge of everything about us. He actually, it says He sifts it. And He knows right down to the tiniest detail. In verse 5, He says, "You hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand on me." And I discovered that there's more than one Hebrew word for hand. And this is not the same Hebrew word for hand that occurs later in this psalm. But it literally means palm of the hand, hollow of the hand. And so, Lord, you have laid your palm on me. And so I get the idea from this, Lord, you've got me covered with your palm. I'm in the hollow of your hand. So, you see, this psalm is both sobering on the one hand and yet reassuring on the other. Because if I do anything wrong, if I get any way out of the way, the Lord knows about it. But also it means that as His child, He's got me covered. And you know, nothing is out of control in my life. And He's got me covered. He's got me not just in His hand. You know, I could say, I've got this in my hand. But that's not the same thing as saying, I've got this in my hand. Okay. Verse 7. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" The word for presence there is actually the Hebrew word face. Where can I go from your face? Number 13. Verse 13. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." In the King James Version, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins," which are really kidneys, which were considered the seat of emotions. And then the NIV translates it, "For you created my inmost being." So I wanted to draw that distinction to you. But closer to the Hebrew is the King James Version. "You have possessed my reins." So inmost being, but being the everything about me, including the inmost part, the actual seat of my emotions and everything. You made them. Therefore, you understand them. Verse 15. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." I actually shared this with some folks at the school the other night because I already had my notes. I said, "Until ultrasound." But he says, "When I was woven together in the depths of the earth." What he's conveying here, you know, totally out of sight of anyone. And other than something like an ultrasound, we can't see inside the mommy's tummy to see all of the incredible, miraculous, I mean, beyond understanding things that are going on there. And he says, "Lord, when I was that way, I was not hidden from your eyes. You could see me." See, the Lord has ultrasound all the time. You could see me. You knew it all. From the very beginning. But in verse 15, it's a different word for weave. There is the regular word for weave, but this one means to variegate or mix colors. This isn't just any weaving. How many of you have seen a beautiful tapestry hanging on somebody's wall? It's woven, but it makes a beautiful picture with a lot of detail and beautiful colors. How many have seen something like that? And that is what he is talking about here. It is not an accident. It is far from that. And it is, to have something like that requires a lot of thought and a lot of planning. And God is the great creative genius. And every single one of us are made and woven, not in some hodgepodge way, but exactly as he desired and exactly. We are all a special, unique work of art of his. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. And that's just, you know, it's unformed substance. But in the Hebrew, that was their equivalent to embryo or fetus. Verse 16 is the most challenging verse. The rest of this verse is the most challenging section of this psalm to translate, because there are a lot of words missing, and whichever way that you translate it, you're still supplying part of the words and part of the thought. And so I put these two here so that you could see the difference in translation between the King James and the NIV. And either one is a legitimate translation. But in the King James it says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members. But whatever's in italics there are supplied words. My members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. But in the NIV it says, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So in the NIV it's saying, Lord, all of my days were already numbered by you, you know, while I was still in the womb. And the word days does occur in the verse. But those who were translating it by the King James felt like that what was written in the book wasn't referring to the days, but to the members, which, you know, as the days went by, were formed in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Like I told the group I talked to before, either one is a great thought, and I'll take either one of them. Because either one of them is a marvelous thing to think about. In verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? Again, there's more than one Hebrew word for thought, and here, your thoughts means purpose, aim, thought. So these are well thought out thoughts. These are cogent thoughts. But then in verse 23, he says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my, in the King James it'll say thoughts, and in the NIV it'll say anxious thoughts. Well, it just means, some translate it, disquieting thoughts, anxious thoughts, cogitations. Have you ever been trying to go to sleep at night and there's just all kinds of stuff running through your head? That's the kind of thoughts that it's talking about here. And I couldn't help but think as I read that, you know, the Lord says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And my, you know, we think we're so smart. We go out and we get a little old PhD or something, and we think we are so smart. Let me tell you something. Our thoughts are just a muddled mess next to the thoughts of the Almighty. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
And it's true. All right. Now, dissecting the psalm a little bit, this is how I get the whatever out of it. This section, O Lord, dealing with his omniscience, the first six verses, you know me. You know me inside out, upside down, turned around. You know me every way. So the whole thing is here, you know. What does he know? A, my every move. B, my every thought. See my ways, which is my behavior, patterns, habits, and associations. Does he know our behavior patterns? You better believe it. D, you know my every word. Sometimes we say, oh, I didn't really mean that. Oh, I really didn't mean to say that. The Lord knows our every word. E, Lord, you know my history and my origins. When he's talking about us being formed inside our mother. You know my history, my origins, my DNA, my family tree. You know it all. F, you know my makeup and design because you're the one that made the blueprint for me. G, you know my past, present, and future. Yes, he does. How much does he know about you? He knows everything about you and me. H, Lord, you know my intents and motives. Now, other people can't always know all these things about us. A lot of other people know a lot about us, and the people closest to us probably know the most about us. But even them, there's a lot of things about us they don't know. But the Lord knows, and there isn't anything we've done, thought, or intent of the heart we've had, or anything else that isn't fully known to the Lord. That's why when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and starts dealing with us, we may be able to make excuses to others and say, well, this or that, or extenuating circumstances or whatever else. And the Holy Spirit says, do you really expect me to believe that? You need to repent of that. You need to receive cleansing from that. You need to let me come in and change you from the inside. Because that is the way you are in the natural. But with my help, you can be different. Amen. Number two, God's omnipresence. Oh, Lord, you have me covered. You're everywhere. A, you have me hemmed in front and back. B, you have laid your hand on me. Now that's a very... You ever laid your hand on somebody? Sometimes somebody will just touch your shoulder. Right? But that's a personal contact. That's an unspoken message, but it's a very powerful message. And you may do it with your child. And I can't remember who it was. Oh, yes, I do know who it was. I don't know that he's a Christian or anything. But I saw an interview of Don Imus the other night. And he and his wife run this ranch for kids with cancer. And almost all of them not only have either cancer or lost a sibling to sudden death syndrome, but they come from very, very dysfunctional situations. And he talked about this one boy that was so hard, and he fought them all summer long, and he would not cooperate with anything, and they just could not. And one day they were in the kitchen, and the boy was there. And Emma said he put out his hand on his head and just kind of did like that, like you would do to your kid. And he said the boy broke down because nobody had ever done that for him. And it was the turning point. And from that point on, he opened up and there was rapport. So what to say, Lord, you've laid your hand on me. And again, not just hand, palm. That's a very personal thing. And that means, you know what that means? That means that the Lord has a personal interest in you. And it means that if you fail, you're going to fail in spite of him. Because you didn't follow him. You didn't trust him. You didn't obey his word. You gave lip service to him. You didn't really follow him. You didn't really seek him every day. You didn't really load your mind up and your heart up with the word of God as we've heard about here this morning. But he has a personal interest. And he will respond. If you respond to him, he will respond. Let me tell you something. He says, draw nigh, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you respond the least bit, he's got his hand on you, and he's going to watch out for you. Oh, the going gets rough. We all go through rough times. But let me tell you something. I don't care how rough the time is. If his hand's on me, I'm okay.
Amen.
See, I can't hide from you anywhere, Lord. Not in heaven. And we get the picture here of, okay, so I'm in heaven. Oops, you're there. Okay, let me go to the depths. Let me go to Sheol, which is hell. That's the blank there in two. Not even in hell. Oops. If I take the wings of the morning, that's the east. So I put here, not in the distant east. Or to the farthest side of the sea, which to them would be the west, the Mediterranean Sea, not in the distant west, and not even under cover of darkness. And today we can understand this a little better. I tell you, when you're out in the middle of a cypress swamp, somewhere down in Louisiana at midnight with nothing but crocodiles and alligators around, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. The Lord sees you just fine. We can understand that a little better now because we have infrared and we have night goggles, night vision goggles. So we can understand that better maybe than the people in this day. But he says, to you, light and darkness is just the same. You can see me just as well. So, Lord, number three, your power and ability are without limit. When I consider, A, your unfathomable knowledge, and B, your imponderable thoughts, those thoughts and purposes that we talked about, when I consider your limitless power and ability, and when I consider your marvelous works. Then, this is my response. And that's number four. And this is what he's saying in this psalm. I am overwhelmed. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Verse 6. I am awestruck. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And in the Hebrew it says, my soul knows that full well. I'm awestruck. I'm humbled. Verse 6 again. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I'm humbled. D, I'm reassured. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Verse 10, even there, even in the farthest side of the sea, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will uphold me. Verse 18, were I to count them, your thoughts, Lord, they would outnumber the grains of sand. But when I awake, I am still with you. If I fall asleep, never having exhausted what I was thinking about when I fell asleep, when I wake up, you're right there with me again. So I'm reassured. Oh, and in verses 7 to 12, I'm sobered. I'm sobered when I think about even how wonderfully I'm made and how you formed me. It's a sobering thought. F, but also in verse 14, I am moved to praise. I praise you. I thank you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So I am moved to praise. And then lastly, I am moved to devotion and full surrender. And that's those last two verses. Now in verse 1, he starts out and says, Lord, you have searched me, which is kind of like the word examined me, and you know me. That's verse 1. Then here in verse 23, same word, same Hebrew word. Search me, O God. And then the same Hebrew word, know. In verse 1 he says, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And now he is praying for that. And he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Not only that, test me. When the Lord tests us, meaning, you know, you test something to know its true properties, like in a lab, are his results always accurate? Oh, yeah. So test me and know my muddled thoughts. That's how I would translate this one. And know my muddled thoughts and see. And he's inviting the Lord to see and look. See. Just like you would look at an x-ray on a computer screen. See. If there is any offensive way in me. Why does he ask for that? Because he doesn't want anything standing between him and his Lord. This is his way of saying, Lord, if there is even one little thing in me today, one little thought, one little attitude, one little thing that's going to dishonor you or that's going to hinder our relationship, I want to be rid of it. I want to bring it to the cross. I want to receive forgiveness and cleansing so that full fellowship can be restored. That is what he's asking for. And that is the prayer of a mature Christian. When we're in our certain other stages, it's like, oh, I hope the Lord doesn't find out. I hope the Lord didn't see that. That is not the stance of a mature Christian, let me tell you. And yet that is the way we are sometimes. But the mature Christian is saying, Lord, really, really, examine me thoroughly. And if there's anything, I welcome the prying eyes of your Holy Spirit. Why? Because I'm righteous? No, because I know I'm righteous in Christ, but not in myself, because I know I'm not. And if there's anything there, Lord, I want to take care of it before it becomes a major problem. I want to take care of it before it turns into something bigger. And start standing between me and you. I want to be sure. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now that can mean lead me in the way that ultimately ends with eternal life. Or it can mean just lead me in your good old way, which is eternal. And I said again, I'll take either one. But if the Lord is leading, He will lead us in the way everlasting. Amen? And that's a great reassuring thought to know. So, how well does he know us? And I'll leave you with this. I mean, as I read this again, I was just amazed. The heaviest theological issues are dealt with in this psalm. God's omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. And yet, it's one of the most personal psalms that I have found in all the psalms. There are almost no third-party references in this psalm. It's you, Lord, and it's me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today, and indeed, your power is so great, we could never figure it out. Your knowledge is so great, we could never figure it out. Your wisdom is so great that we could never figure it out. And the one thing that we have going for us is your love for us. And also the the propitiation that you have provided for us through your Son on the cross and your Holy Spirit and your Word and the gift, the free gift of eternal life, that is what we have going for us. And if you could save us when we were all in the middle of our sin and didn't care about you, now that we are saved and know you, can you not address the issues in our lives? And I know that you can. I know that the answer to that is overwhelmingly yes. And so, Lord, as your people, we don't want to hide from you, because in reality, we can't anyway. And number two, your knowledge of us can lead us to confession, forgiveness, rebound, being made right in you, and then being able to grow in you and being able to move on and know you really in a way greater than we've ever known you before. And you make it so plain that you don't want a casual relationship with your people on again, off again, at a distance. You want a daily, intimate relationship with us. And you've shown us a glimpse of that in this psalm. And that's what we want, because one day soon we will see you face to face. But we don't have to wait till then to know that you're with us every single minute. You know everything about us, but you love us unconditionally, and you've got us covered, and you're ready to come to our aid at a moment's notice. Lord, we love you today. Indeed, search our hearts today and bring us closer to you in fellowship and in intimate communion than we've ever been before. And remove the things that would stand in the way of that. That's our prayer today, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.